It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly continuing. If you are not reading The Athletic, shame on you. If you're not,
you can ask James what his favorite thing to eat at Guaranteed Rate Field is, because we've been asking everybody here on White Sox Weekly, what is your favorite thing to eat at Guaranteed Rate Field? James, do you have a favorite? Do you have a go-to?
Sandwich my wife made for me 3 hours ahead of time.
Oh, come on.
Smart man. Smart man. Bring the, you know.
Is that because of health, or is that a financial decision? What are we talking about here?
Okay, my favorite place to eat is probably the sandwiches around
the Xfinity
thing? Right heel line.
Yeah, the turkey there sandwich. There we go. It's good stuff. They carve it right there in front of you.
James Fegan.
Yeah, they put guacamole and everything. It's great.
Oh, yeah. James Fegan, The Athletic, with us here on White Sox Weekly. And lot to talk about here, James. You've been all over the country watching these White Sox play baseball and going down to the minor league. So I loved your piece on Omar Vizquel, because I feel like people are not even realizing that Omar's there, and it's a guy that's just so much respect throughout the game. And then you go down and hang with him, and he's better than advertised. You sort of, it seems like you fell in love with an Omar leading that team.
Yeah, I mean, he's a blast. He's a riot. It seems like he's having a lot of fun doing it, even though, you know, you kind of think like it's probably a step down for him or not what he's expecting, seeing as he's interviewing for major league jobs and was an assistant in the majors the last 5 years. You know, it kind of seems weird to see guys get jobs out of experience, and Omar Vizquel, someone who has as much name value as him, who's bilingual, who offers the same, you know, dynamic as Ricky as far as being able to talk to Latin players, and, you know, has real coaching experience, that he had to take an A-ball job, but he has a lot of energy for it.
So, and the players, they seems like they respect what Omar's doing. They love seeing him on the field. He's still taking ground balls, all that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's going to be any 21-year-old player who's going to be saying disparaging things about his manager in interviews like that.
That's true.
But all of them have seemed pretty enthusiastic about it. You know, some of them seem relatively aware of who he was. I don't know if I'd count Luis Robert on that list, seeing as Vizquel said he didn't know who Roberto Clemente was. But it seems like they're pretty enthusiastic. Mike Rodolfo sung his praises pretty well. So, yeah, they definitely seem enthusiastic. As far as, like, you know, having Luis Posada and Joel Booker, guys who are speed-oriented and love stealing bases, Vizquel kind of lets them go off to the races, so I think they're pretty happy about that.
James, nobody's as dialed into the White Sox as you are. I feel like I could pluck your brain on a whole variety of White Sox topics. I'm going to go with Carson Fulmer with my first question. He made a start with Charlotte, 5 innings, still had 6 walks. I guess this is, you know, Carmen and I were kind of joking at the top of the show that basically most of the White Sox talk these days is projections, right? It's long-term. Where does this guy fit? Where does this guy fit? Where does this guy fit? So to you, where does Carson Fulmer fit? Is he a bullpen guy? Is he a potential starter? What have you seen from him? What do you think White Sox fans can expect to see from Carson Fulmer moving forward?
I've thought probably before the season even that he was probably best off in the bullpen. Just that seems like an opportunity for the play up, and also for you to be able to, you know, minimize his mistakes. People kind of who are really down on Carson will say to me, is like, well, you have to throw strikes out of the bullpen. Why is he going to be better there? Well, you know, if Carson comes out and he doesn't have any, he's missing his spots, you can pull him and it doesn't throw off your entire day, is basically where I think the bullpen is probably better for him. You know, he'll come out some nights in the first inning and he's 94, 95 while throwing a really hard cutter that's like 88, 89. I think if he's doing that in 1 inning, 2 inning spurts, he can probably be really dynamic and effective at times. I don't know. You know, right now he's out there to basically straighten up his line to the plate and swing his leg out less and, you know, try to focus on improving his control. I don't know how much he's ever going to be able to rein that in on a permanent level. I don't see really any harm the White Sox, you know, trying to squeeze that out of him and trying to continue to commit to him as a starter for, you know, as long as they want. I mean, it's not like the 2018 bullpen is going to, you know, call for immediate help and you're going to save the season and go to the playoffs. So what's the harm in working as a starter? And it also gets more reps because, as they've mentioned many times, Nate Jones worked as a starter, you know, for years in the minor leagues. And even watching Nate Jones now, you can see like that was probably never a realistic plan for him. So there's no real harm in it, but it always seems like his stuff is lively enough that you would give relieving a chance, even if the control is never going to be top-notch.
What are you seeing from Lucas Giolito? And, you know, we had Steve Stone on Steve Cochran's show yesterday, and I was asking him about whether he thought it'd be better for him to work out his stuff at AAA, similar to what they're doing with Fulmer. And I know Ricky talked about that earlier in the week, that you know, that's not in the plans right now. I mean, how do you think they'll go forward with Lucas? And when you go like deep inside everything that's going on, what's your breakdown of why Giolito's struggling, at least at times, the way he is?
He just doesn't seem like his delivery was in sync like it was near the end of last season or in spring training. I mean, in spring training, he was hitting 95 on the gun and, you know, could reel off his slider and curveball as sharply as, you know, you'd ever seen him in a White Sox uniform. So it's hard to really kind of figure out why that went away so quickly, but it's not there at the point. He really can't command his fastball to a degree to set himself up for that, to really even get his curveball, you know, working. He mentioned that he feels like his slider is almost a stabilizing pitch. It gets him in the right arm slot. So that's been somewhat reliable so far this season. But right now, he just doesn't have any kind of command to really set up, you know, what he does well. He has this great arsenal of off-speed pitches, but he really just can't put himself in the counts to use it. So, yeah, I could see, you know, AAA being a good situation where it's just a lower stress to kind of work on that and set that up. They don't really have, until they really allow themselves to use Kopech or use even Jordan Stevens or in Carlos Rodon, they don't really have the bodies to kind of lose the starter right now. So it might be another couple weeks, given the fact that he's shown more ability than Fulmer to kind of, you know, grind his way through starts where he doesn't look great or he's not executing great but still gives him six innings. So I would think it'd be another week of trying him out and seeing if he can stabilize before they would make that kind of decision. I definitely don't think they want to do it. I think they would rather just, you know, stick to the troubles of the major league level and not send him up and down. But at the point where Rodon is healthy and if Kopech is nearing the point where they feel appropriate to call him up, whether for Super 2 reasons or actual improvement reasons, he's still kind of struggling like he is right now. I could see that an option happening.
Well, James, I know you probably get asked this every day, and I know Sox fans talk about it basically daily, but let's talk about it realistically with Kopech and Jimenez, because I know you probably get asked this all the time when Eloy Jimenez and Michael Kopech will be brought up to the majors. So let's factor in service time and the quality of play they've been you know, had this season. When really do you think Kopech will be brought up, and then will Jimenez make it to the majors this year?
I would think Kopech is being a late July, August guy. I don't know why it's necessary to wait that long. But, you know, there are still development issues with him as far as just command. And, you know, the changeup has not really progressed as he would probably like. You know, the curveball he's shown his last few starts probably makes it unnecessary to really worry about the changeup too much, because it achieves the same, you know, differential and velocity that what he really needs, the changeup. But I think they're probably going to, you know, drag it out a bit more. Eloy Jimenez is probably going to be late August, September call-up. I would expect more at this point. I would probably expect a lot sooner him to be sent to Charlotte, since they have both, you know, stated that it is necessary for him to kind of face the more breaking ball-oriented attacks that he would see handling the top-level prospect stuff you see at AA. He's really growing at AA at this point, because, you know, those pitchers can't even force him to take walks at this point. So I would think relatively soon we're going to see him go to Charlotte, since they don't really have much to prove left at AA anymore.
James Vegan, The Athletic, here with us on White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN. I saw some of your videos down when you were at Winston-Salem watching Dylan Cease. What impressed you most about Dylan?
I think it's pretty easy to be impressed by 99 miles an hour on the 103rd pitch of the night in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
I mean, you see him and he's kind of a thin, lanky guy, but he's doing every bit the strong endurance and feats of strength that we talk about Kopech doing, and being able to maintain absolute top shelf velocity deep into games. And Dylan Cease is doing the same thing. You know, it's against hitters who don't force him to have as sharp command as maybe Kopech is facing right now, but he's every bit as solid with the stuff and being able to maintain it late into games. And that's something that, you know, people were kind of worried about with him even a couple, a month or two ago. As developed has been, he's, you know, we'll see how smooth his delivery can get over time. And, you know, when the strike zones get a little bit tighter as he goes up, whether he'll be able to adjust along with that. But as far as just the raw strength and power and stuff of his arm, you know, it's there.
James, Machado mania was sweeping through Chicago. I don't think you were here for it as you were covering the minor league teams, but that's basically all anybody in Chicago, sports fans-wise, were talking about was Machado to the Cubs potentially in a trade, or maybe even the Sox signing him in the offseason. I've said that I think it's a slim shot they do land him in free agency, but I'm not completely dismissing the White Sox in the conversation for Machado. I mean, Rick Hahn's talked about making sort of that, you know, corner turning type move, that landmark signing to basically, you know, move this rebuild along. So I guess my question is, what if you could put a percentage on it, or if you do you think Rick Hahn can persuade, and do you think the White Sox are ready to pony up that amount of money for Manny Machado this offseason?
I think they're probably willing to pony up more money than they've ever put up for any free agent target before. Whether that's going to actually beat out the max offers of extremely high revenue deep pocket teams like the Yankees or Dodgers or Cubs, you know, I'm not entirely sold on that until it happens. And, you know, I think it's a unique opportunity to have somebody who fits in their window as much. I mean, you don't see 26-year-old free agents who are in the prime of their careers pop up every now and then. He's not an absolute perfect fit because that's the shortstop. And that's Anderson. I don't think they should ruin their chances with Machado for the sake of Tim Anderson, as high as I am on Anderson's future compared to other doubters. But it does present some complications that might prevent them from going absolute above and beyond. And they'll have to. I mean, they're going to have to overpay. That's the surcharge that you face from being a team that has not been a competitor and has not lured top talent, is that to really kind of bring them in, they're probably going to have to outbid every other team in the market by a significant margin. And, you know, they say that they're willing to do stuff like that, but they have to prove it before we really can, you know, put every amount of faith into their words.
James, appreciate you taking time on a Saturday night, and I really enjoy reading your stuff at The Athletic. You do a great job covering the team and covering the minor leagues as well. It was awesome that they sent you out to
where are you now, James? Because you've been all over the place. Where are you currently as you talk to Carmen Ira?
I'm actually at home for once.
Back in Chicago. Good.
All right. Cleveland Sunday night.
Beautiful.
Good little Memorial Day in Cleveland, a nice three-game set coming on with the Brewers. We'll see you out at Guaranteed Rate Field next weekend, and thanks for taking time tonight, James. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks.